Good morning, everyone. I always loved that song because after I baptized my father, who was in his late 70s and not able to speak well at all, seldom said anything, after he came out of the water and sat down, and Doug Roosevelt led that song, and at the end of the song, my dad said, "That's me. I'm redeemed." We sang that last verse, "I'm redeemed," and he said, "That's me." It's a beautiful thing. Good memory. Good to see you all today, and I wanted to continue in talking about some things that we can expect to be or have as Christians. Last week, I talked about the new birth, how we are brought forth by the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18, we get the idea that it's like giving birth. We could see that James said that sin gives birth to death, same word, and that God gave birth to us through His Word. So that happens, of course, when we respond to the teaching of His Word. It can't be that we just hear it, or that we just believe it, or we just think about it, or agree with it, but we actually have to respond to it by being baptized into Christ so that we go down into the waters of baptism, realizing that we were dead in our sins, and coming up out of the waters of baptism, realizing that we have a new life to live with God. And so today, the lesson is newness, N-E-W, newness, N-E-S-S. I had to stop a minute. I better just put it up here. There it is, newness. I found a lot of this in the letter to the Colossians. I especially love that part, and it's been an important verse to me. From the time I was a new Christian, the idea of being transferred from a domain of darkness into a kingdom of God's beloved Son. What a great transition, amen? To be moved from a place where there's death and no hope, where there's nothing but emptiness, to a place of fulfillment and eternal rest, eternal peace, eternal glory, eternal happiness with our Father, if we'll remain true to Him. Transferred at baptism from the domain of darkness, the devil's realm, to the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So Colossae was a place where there was a small church, I think, a church of Christ, the body of Christ there with Jesus as their head. It used to be quite a metropolitan area, but it had kind of diminished in importance in the region by the time these Christians were there at Colossae. Paul says and introduces himself in the letter to them, and they already know of him. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So Timothy is an evangelist who has been taught by Paul. Paul is one who holds the office of apostle, which God gave to him and Jesus taught him directly. Going on then, we might ask ourselves, why was it named Colossae? It sounds like a Colosseum or Colosso, something big, but that's not it at all. Evidently, it was named for a dye called Colocinum. Colocinum. It was used to dye wool fabric, in clothing and rugs and maybe tents and other things, colocinum. And it came from a root from a plant called madder, M-A-D-D-E-R. So that root was processed and it made an incredible red dye. Well, the great thing for Colossae is that it grew real well in their area. So while Thyatira was known for purple, they were known for red. And it's kind of in the same region. Colossae, named for excellent dark red wool that it produced, Colossinum, it's home to the Colossian Christians that Paul writes this letter to. You might remember the seven churches of Asia Minor. Colossae is not mentioned there, but there's Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and these were the ones that John wrote to in the seven churches of Asia in the beginning chapters of the book of Revelation. Colossae was south and a little bit east of Laodicea, and the Colossians and the Laodiceans were to share the letters that Paul was sending. So you have here Asia Minor. You've got the seven churches of Asia Minor. There's Laodicea right there. And just below it, Colossae. So you can see it's right in the middle of that area. However, we think that maybe it was one of the smaller of the groups and maybe even met in someone's house. Some Christians had their assemblies in houses in those days, just as some Christians have their assemblies in houses these days. Nothing wrong with that. The hope is always that you'll win more people to Christ and you'll be big enough to need a building someday, but it's completely legitimate to have a church in a house. Colossians 4:15, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. And you see that phrase many times in the New Testament, the church that is in his house or her house or their house. That happened a lot. Who were these saints and faithful brethren at Colossae? Who were they? Well, there was a preacher named Epaphras. He had been there and evidently had gone back to where Paul was and might be coming back again. Husbands were there, wives were there, fathers were there, mothers were there, children were there, slaves were there, and masters were there. The image of slaves that we have as our history in America is a little bit different than this. Our slaves in America were basically people who had been kidnapped and drugged from their home and brought to another place and sold. Whereas these were slaves who were sometimes even voluntarily slaves. It was almost like getting a job. It was an occupation. And if one could get out of that, so be it. But sometimes people lived their lives as servants to other people. And so that's the way it was in the New Testament times of the first century. Colossians 1:7, just as you learned it from Epaphras. So Paul is talking about the gospel that they had learned from Epaphras, the word of truth. Epaphras was a preacher. Our beloved fellow bondservant who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Colossians 3:19 through 20, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 4:1, masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. So this is kind of the demographic of the church at Colossae. This is who is involved in that church. Tychicus was visiting. Tychicus was carrying, evidently, this letter to the Colossians. Tychicus also was carrying, I could probably say that he was carrying the letter to Philemon, that we have Timothy, you know, 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Titus, Philemon. It's likely that Tychicus was carrying that letter to Philemon, although we don't know. So in Colossians 4:7 through 9, it says, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord will bring you information. Paul was not able to come to them himself because evidently at this time he is in prison. And that seems like a thing that Paul did a lot, you know, spent a lot of time in prison as one who was being persecuted for the cause of Christ. So he couldn't come, but he sent Tychicus with this letter. It says, for I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Now we know Onesimus as a man who is a slave, and he has left his master, who is Philemon. And so now Paul is sending him back with Tychicus. And Paul appealed to Onesimus, appealed on behalf of Onesimus, because Onesimus had been one who is an example of someone who was doing, you know, maybe where he wasn't supposed to be, perhaps had been unfruitful and unhelpful to his master, maybe had even escaped from his master. But when he went to be with Paul, he had been transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son by being baptized into Christ. It's likely that Philemon had actually sent Onesimus to help Paul in his grief and his struggle in prison. So we don't know the whole story, but we understand that here's a man who wasn't a Christian, who became a Christian at the teaching of Paul, was there to help Paul, and now is going back to Colossae as a brother in Christ, one who has been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So here's what Paul writes to Philemon, and perhaps this is what Tychicus is carrying with him, along with the letter to the Colossians in general. Philemon 1, 10 through 14, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart. So you see that the transition has taken place at the teaching of Paul, because he refers to him as his child or his son in the faith. He has begotten him by the word of truth. He preached to him, he became a Christian, and he has become very attached to him. He has become a good Christian brother and very helpful to him. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. Well, Paul doesn't regard himself as necessarily having the right to keep him. He wants to send him back to do things, you know, in decency and in order, to give Philemon an opportunity to say, okay, Paul, you can keep Onesimus with you. And that's kind of the better way to do it, isn't it? I mean, Paul could have just sent Tychicus with the letter and kept Onesimus where he was, and yeah, hey, how about letting me not send Onesimus back to you? But instead, he sends Onesimus the right thing to do and puts the choice in Philemon's hand. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. So he's making it really hard for Philemon to say no, don't you think? You know, here's a situation like, I want to keep this guy with me. He's my brother in Christ. He's your brother in Christ. He was useless to you. Now he's useful to me. I'm sending him back, but I sure hope that he comes back. I sure hope that you don't keep him. But it's up to you. It's up to you. It's better for Onesimus to be a brother than a slave, for sure, amen? So Paul goes on, for perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe me to even, that you owe to me even your own self as well. Not to mention that you really ought to do this, that you should feel obliged to me for what I've done for you. And if he owes you anything, I will pay it. And I think Paul was serious about that, but he's really laying the pressure on, you know. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. I would think it would be hard to say no to that request. Might be something like a request that he must not refuse, you know. As a brother in Christ, as a man who possibly has other men who are servants, and this man that was useless to him, and was sent to Paul, and has now become useful, and a brother in Christ, well, what's the loss here? If Onesimus goes and helps Paul, he's helping the kingdom of God. There's no loss. Philemon 1, 21 through 25, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Paul's fairly confident, isn't he? At the same time, also prepare me a lodging. Oh, and by the way, you're going to have to look me in the face, because I'm going to come there if I get a chance. So you better maybe think about doing, you know. For I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. I don't think he said no. Does anybody think he said no? I don't think he said no. I think that Onesimus was allowed to go back and be as a free man and serving Brother Paul. Newness. Two things that everyone gets when they're born again. They get a new birth and a new location. And by new location, I'm talking about being transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So when we leave that domain of darkness, we come into a better and different place. Colossians 1, 3 through 5, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have had, which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, by which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Remember that phrase from last week, the word of truth, the gospel? Notice the same phrase in Colossians and James, the word of truth. Paul called it here the gospel. He says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. You want people to have salvation? Give them the gospel. That's how they're born. According to James, as we studied last week, James 1, 17 through 18, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Well, we know the word of truth is the word of God, the gospel, and being brought forth is this Greek word, apokuio, to give birth to. If we have been born again, God gave birth to us because we responded to his holy gospel, the word of truth. Colossians 1, 6 through 9, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard it, of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So running back several weeks to the phrase that we kept talking about where Paul wrote to Timothy and he said he desired for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just coming to enough knowledge to be saved by being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins is not where God wants us to stop. But he wants us to have a fuller knowledge, to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. To keep growing, to keep learning, to keep becoming more and more useful and fruitful in his kingdom. A new life now with hope of heaven requires right walking today. Colossians 1, 10 through 12, so that you, what? Why would you learn more about God? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Gone from darkness into the kingdom of God's Son, gone from darkness into the light. In this new life, we have new location. No longer in that prison, no longer in those chains, no longer shackled, no longer tormented by Satan's accusations, because we've been forgiven and moved from a place nobody should want to be to a place everybody should want to be. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. As I said before, back when I used to do prison ministry, the thing that I didn't like about it was to walk in that little area where you have to walk alone. You go one person at a time, and that gate closes behind you, and somebody up in a tower slams an electronic lock, clang, and there you are, trapped between two doors. You wait for the next one to open and you go through. Oh, man, can you imagine that sound for eternity? Can you imagine that gate clanging shut behind you and never being able to get out? But God has already moved us from a domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. Now located in the body, now located under the head, Jesus Christ. That's where the church lives. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. No Jesus, no peace. Have you seen those signs where you've got K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W peace, and then underneath it says N-O Jesus, N-O peace. Have you seen those? If you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. Because Jesus came to bring peace between God and mankind. And for all those who are in Christ, in the kingdom of Christ, we should have peace with one another also. Don't expect to have peace with the world. That's not what He came for. He came for us to have peace with God and with one another. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Holy, blameless, beyond reproach, and the devil's accusations won't stick. We're like Teflon. Jesus just keeps cleaning us up if we continue in the faith. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. The devil wants to accuse you. The devil wants to accuse me. But when we're in Christ, the accusations won't stick. God knows better, for sure. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So again, we have that statement that seems all-inclusive, but we understand that it means the gospel was spread throughout the Roman Empire and on its way to many other places too. In fact, it had already gone to Ethiopia and was going to other places as Paul wrote this letter. These Colossians had been born again when they obeyed the word of truth, the gospel, by repenting and being baptized into Christ Jesus. Paul said, so walk in Him. And he'd say the very same thing to us, don't you think? Do these letters just have to be to those people who dyed their wool red and lived at Colossae so long ago? These are for us too. These are words for every Christian. And he says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So even today, we will have people with many theories and many opinions, but there's only one Word of God. And if we're not born by that Word of God, by that Word of truth, by its instructions, by that gospel, then what we got was not a new birth, but just a rerun of the old. What we got was not transferred from darkness to light, to the kingdom of God's Son, but just a good feeling that maybe we did the right thing. We must respond only to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we only find that in His book. We cannot find it any other place. Their new birth, their new life, and their new obligation begin at baptism into Christ, and ours does too. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over rule and authority, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now what is that? According to Paul, he's talking about physical things, but he's making a spiritual point. He says, having been buried with him in baptism. All of these people that he was calling Christians and faithful brethren and saints at Colossae were people who had already been baptized into Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Knowing where they stood with all that was wrong removed, and having been moved into a place, a new location, with their new birth, where Jesus Christ would walk with them and us, if we'll do the same. At Jesus' cross, the devil lost the power to hold any slaves, that choose to turn to Jesus for new birth and new life. He says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. It is believed that the reason Paul wrote the things that he wrote in the book of Colossians would be to counter false teaching that was going on. False teaching that we could perhaps trust in keeping the law of Moses. False teaching that we could perhaps trust in knowledge. False teaching that we could perhaps worship angels instead of God. Various things that were coming into the church already. And Paul's trying to knock them down. You were baptized by the word of truth. You heard the word of truth. You obeyed the word of truth. You were born again in baptism. All that was wrong was removed, and everything new began. Walk in that. After Onesimus was taught the word of truth, the gospel, and obeyed it to be born again, Paul appealed to Philemon on his behalf. It seems doubtful that Philemon would have treated him as anything less than a brother in Christ. We don't know if Philemon kept Onesimus a slave or set him free, or maybe even made him as a son, but we do know that Jesus had released him from slavery to sin and slavery to Satan and had made him a son of God in his kingdom. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I want to be where Jesus is. I want to walk with him. I want to stay there until my life ends, and then I want to sleep and wait for him to wake me up and take me with him for eternity, unless he happens to come within my lifetime, and that's okay too. Romans 6:4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So here's our question this morning. Where are you walking? Are you walking in that privileged place in the kingdom of God's beloved Son? Are you ready to begin your walk now? And I hope that you'll continue your walk for eternity. We offer you the opportunity for anything we can do for you. That sounds like one of those things that Justin was talking about this morning, that phrase. That phrase that makes everybody grab a songbook, amen? But really, that's what it's for. It's this time that is set aside, especially for you, who need to come and let us know how we can help you as we stand and as we sing.